Today's reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 17 onwards to chapter 3, verse 13, found on page 1187. So it's 1187 in the Pew Bibles. But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and may the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, would you like to go with me to Greece today?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Okay. There we are. We've arrived in Thessalonica, and Paul wrote his letter that we're working through. I listened to PJ's sermon from last week and I got the Bible study notes from the week before, so I think I know where we've got to, and I hopefully won't say same sort of thing that he's been saying. It'll be slightly different. We're moving on in the passage. Okay, now I'm just going to read you a little bit about it's about this story, but it's just to make it fresh, as though we're in Greece and we're visiting this particular church in Thessalonica. It is the church, it's the majestic church dedicated to the apostle of the nations. And of course that's what Paul was, wasn't he? He was called to take the gospel to the known world of the time. And this church dominates the landscape overlooking the port of Thessalonica. So, when Paul reached Thessalonica, it was the autumn of AD 49. Paul and Silas, both apostles, found the city completely different from what they'd seen so far. It was free from Roman occupation. There was also a synagogue close to the port. Apostles Paul and Silas went there to the synagogue for three Saturdays. He discussed with the attendants there and interpreted for them abstracts from the Old Testament Bible, which mention that the Messiah should suffer and die for us and then be resurrected from the dead. Some people believed and became Christians. Many of the Greeks believed, as well as several women who stood out in the city's society. We do not know exactly how many were the first Christians, but we know for sure that a church was established. Soon, and it was soon, it was only there for 3 weeks, because of Paul's activity, problems began to rise in Thessalonica and riots are provoked, exactly as had happened in Philippi. During the night, Paul and Silas left the city. As he left in a hurry, chased by his fellow countrymen, chased by the Jews, that is, he came out of a high spot in the wall. So it's a city wall. Probably through a small door. And this is where a monastery was later established at this point. And east of that position, there used to be a water spring of water. And it is said that he stopped there as he escaped to drink some water. And every year in spring, people go there to honour St. Paul and drink what was known as the Apostle Paul's holy water. Later, a church in his honour was constructed on this place, and the holy water had become well known by that time. So nowadays, this modern, imposing church is the proof that Apostle Paul visited Thessalonica, preached there, and brought the Greeks close to Jesus. So that's a little bit of a tour, isn't it, in a way? You know, it's like we're there, and we can think about this building, what it represents. Okay, so we're going to move on, and I think what I will do at this point is just read to you the account from the book of Acts. So this is Acts 17, beginning at verse 1. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. And there was a synagogue of the Jews. Paul went in, as was his custom, and on 3 Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus who I proclaim to you is the Christ." Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, thinking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they're all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. And the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night, and they went on their way to Berea. So there we are. That's Luke's account from the book of Acts. And you obviously heard my little modern day guide of the Church of the Apostle to the Nations, where St. Paul, in the place where St. Paul brought the Greeks close to Jesus. Okay. So this particular passage that we looked at from Thessalonians this morning gives Paul, if you like, his version of the result of this story. And Paul desperately wants to see these people again who have become Christians. So Paul, obviously, with his mission, he's stepping out in faith to love and serve everyone he meets, really. But he does go to the Jews first, doesn't he? And then he goes to the rest of us, if you like, the Gentiles and the Greeks, in that case, there. And he's still expressing his love. He's doing it in faith and love and suffering for it. But he's still doing the same thing in writing this letter. He's expressing his faith and he's expressing his love towards these young Christians. And there's the title. And I thought, it is amazing as you look through this passage how much he does love these young Christians that he's only known for less than a month. And he says so much in it, doesn't he, about his intense longing to get back to them, to see them again. He says things like, we have joy in the presence of God because of you. Night and day we pray for you. He really loves them so deeply. And it just challenged me as I read this passage. How deep is my love for other people? Because Paul's love is so deep. And he's changed, hasn't he? He's not the Saul he used to be. He didn't have much love at all in those days, but Jesus has changed him into an incredibly loving person. And I think that's the challenge, really, for us, isn't it? To be, he was becoming like Jesus, and the challenge is for us to become more like Jesus. How deep is our love? Okay. And you might think, oh, it's a struggle. It is a struggle. Life is a struggle. And but God is almighty. And he can change us. We just need to yield and follow. And following's not easy, but by yielding afresh to him, he can strengthen us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I say that every day, because it's not all about me trying to be like Jesus or like St. Paul, who's trying to be like Jesus. It's actually finding God's help, which is a humbling thing, but it makes all these things possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is from Philippians chapter 4, if you want to look it up. It's a wonderful passage as well. Okay, so is it possible for you and me? So I'm going to tell you a story which came to me as I was thinking about how can we think about, in modern day terms, becoming like Jesus through his strength, being deep in loving our enemies as well as our family, who hopefully aren't our enemies, and so on. Right, so so when I was working as a prison chaplain, I met a lady called Shirley, and Shirley actually was on Songs of Praise. You might have seen her on Songs of Praise. It was years ago now. So at the prison, which was at Goudhurst in Kent, which is not a prison now, but was Blantyre House when I was there, Shirley came to help us as we ran a restorative justice course for the prisoners. So, But Charlie's story, and I'm not going to give the long version. If you want to hear a longer version, I can give it to you. It'd take too long. So Shirley had been a Christian for about 6 months. She wasn't a young, I would say she was midlife. She'd been a Christian about 6 months. She had an armed robbery in her home. And she was having a cup of tea with a friend, and this gang burst into her house. Young people, high on drugs, and they wanted any money and jewels and things like that she had got. Burst into her house, and they tied her and her friend to their chair in the kitchen, and then they rampaged around the house looking for things to take. She and her friend were very shaken, obviously. And then one of them untied her and started to drag her upstairs. And she didn't know what he was going to do with her, obviously. But while this was happening, she said to God, "If I'm a Christian, surely there's something you can do to help me in this situation." Okay. And she said that she felt something of God come upon her. And she knew that God loved this man. And she had some words that she then said, which I suspect, again, probably came from God, but she sensed God's love for this man. And she said to him, "God loves you, and I love you, and when you leave this place, I will pray for you." And she said, this man who was on drugs, he was high on drugs, and he was obviously in a very strange state, she said he suddenly switched and said to her, "I need that." But then he switched back again and started dragging her up the stairs, and he was after her jewels. That's what he was after. Anyway, they got what they came for. They threatened them, if you contact the police, we will come back and you will suffer for this, so on. And they disappeared. So that was what happened at the event. But so God gave her a love in a situation where she didn't feel love, she felt something else totally. But that love that came in her actually helped her to love this person who was her enemy. But anyway, the story goes on. This is a shortened version. John, it was his name. He was also known as Banana Man because he had been in prison a number of times and he was good at escaping from prison. They did contact the police. The police did catch them. He did go back to prison, but he escaped. But he didn't go after Shirley. And during that time, he actually stayed with his dad. He was, you know, secretly. But Shirley faithfully prayed for John over the years, and it was years. And she kept in touch with prison fellowship, and she started to help prisoners. But one day, John was... his dad died. He was in his flat in London hiding there with his dad on the run. And his dad died. And John went up on the roof of this block of flats and he was going to jump off. And then he remembered her words, "God loves you and I love you. And when you leave this place, I'm going to pray for you." So he didn't jump off the roof. And he actually went to an evangelistic meeting instead and became a Christian. He was still on the run, but I don't want to give you a long version of this. He eventually got caught, went to prison. Shirley got to hear that he was in prison because she knew who he was by then and she worked helping prisoners. And they became great friends. But I'm not going to tell you any more because the key thing is the beginning of it, really, is what happened. But I suppose the other key thing is that he did become a Christian. So Paul was going around, went to the Jews first, and then he went generally speaking, to the others in that town as well. But here he is, full of love for these people. But he was also full of love towards the Jews as well, who were opposed to him. Because everybody needs this message, don't they? Whether they're our friends or whether they're people we don't get on well with. And I've had an instance where I've prayed for someone who was my enemy, and I didn't want to pray for them, and God healed that person. And I was full of anger towards this person, but they were struggling with a health issue, and I thought, well, I've got to pray for them. And then the person got healed. And I haven't really got a healing ministry. God wants us to love our enemies and to give them the message, and to do what's necessary to serve them. Okay. So the depth of our love really depends on our connection with Jesus, I think. Paul had a really good connection. We need to, on a regular basis, have a good connection with Jesus. Okay. And then we will have his depth of love to draw on. Right, back to my notes here. Okay. Right. So anyway, that's my first point, really. So, but going back to this Thessalonians passage, Paul going back to the Acts passage, did you notice that the enemies said, these men have turned the world upside down? Now that was their big problem with Paul, that he was actually changing things, and they didn't want any change. But we live in a topsy-turvy world, and it needs change. And so we should always be open to change as Christians, because the world needs turning back the right way up. And I think, isn't it amazing the things that an enemy might say? And it was the same with Jesus with the high priest. You know, it's better that one man dies than, you know, to save us. Of course he did die to save us. And it was the high priest saying something incredibly profound, but he didn't mean it that way. But actually, it's amazing, that truth. And here's a great truth again from the enemies of Paul. We don't want them here because they're turning the world upside down. Well, that's just the thing that the world needs. That might be a word for someone here today, that you might have a situation that is a real problem that won't go away, but actually God can turn things upside down. And don't give up. And that's what Paul was doing here. He wasn't giving up, because I think the problem was he'd only been there 3 weeks, and he was worried that they weren't established well enough in their faith to survive the problems that they would be facing. So he was praying for them day and night. And again, if you've got a big problem, don't give up. Keep praying about it. Keep praying about it. And it's lovely, those testimonies earlier about how God will help. Sometimes it takes a long time, but keep praying. Keep praying. God is at work. And you don't know the half of it. None of us know the half of it, what goes on when we say a prayer. Keep doing it too. And I'll come back to that in a minute, because Paul's prayers are at the end of this passage, and we'll use these prayers this morning. Okay. So Paul in this passage is explaining his absence, that he hasn't gone back or hasn't been able to get back to them to this point. And it was written probably quite soon after the event. He says that we've been torn away, but we're with you in heart. We long to be together with you. We're making every effort, but we have been hindered. And so there's a big obstacle that he's wrestling with. And the solution comes to send Timothy back to them. And that leaves Paul on his own in Athens. And he seems to be struggling with that situation in Athens, that he's all alone with, among the, all the idolaters and the cultured philosophers of Athens. He's stuck with them and he's alone. And you read that in Acts, that he was very troubled by all the idolatry in Athens. But actually, his sermon there, which you can read in Acts, is amazing. I'd love to preach on that one. It's just amazing how he handles that situation. But even on his own, God's able to help him thrive, although he's struggling. So Timothy gets sent off, Paul's on his own. But Timothy, in this letter, has returned with news that they're still holding on to their faith. Their trust in God and his love. And they even say they're missing Paul. So he's so delighted. And you can sense this wonderful relationship that is ongoing and is still developing, even though they're apart. And Paul says that we live and we have joy because of this news of you standing firm. But he had found a way of working around this obstacle. So again, we can pray about obstacles that we struggle with, and maybe have struggled with for years, but we can also pray about maybe there's a way of getting around this obstacle, even if this obstacle won't go away, because Paul had found a way to do that. But it did mean that he was left on his own. So there are solutions. And Paul was no doubt growing in his faith all the time that this was happening. Okay. Right, so Paul ends up this passage today with prayers for these people. So the first prayer is regarding Paul getting back to them. Okay, so that was finding a way to resolve this obstacle. And he says, so may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. Okay, so he's praying for a proper answer to this obstacle. Okay, so what I'd like to do is pray that for you. So if you think, oh, there is an obstacle that's been blighting me, right? Well, I'm going to pray what Paul prayed in that situation for you. So we're going to turn to prayer now for the last part of this this talk. So what I want you to do is to think about this obstacle, and it'll be obvious. If the Holy Spirit is touching on something, it won't be all general. So don't worry if there's not a big obstacle, but if you think yes, there's an obstacle, I want you to think about it. And here we have Paul saying, May our God and Father and the Lord Jesus direct our way to you. So direct a way past this obstacle. So Heavenly Father, I pray for anyone here that has an obstacle that is blocking people from something that they really believe is wrong. I pray, Lord, that you would help them get through that obstacle, for that obstacle to be removed, or to get round that obstacle, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The second prayer of Paul will go up on the screen. Okay. So this prayer, Paul was praying for them. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. And that was those enemies, wasn't it, in Thessalonica? Just as ours does for you. Right. So again, there might be, you might like to just pray this generally, but there might be someone particularly who you really struggle to love, just as Shirley would have done as that man was dragging her up the stairs. But actually ask God for your, for his love for that person or a situation. Okay? So let us pray. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for the people that you have thought of. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And the third prayer, there we go, which is the end of the passage that we've got today. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. So, I mean, if you're a Christian, we can just pray that. If you're not a Christian, I've got another prayer to say, which actually makes it happen. But this prayer, as I see it, is really about being able to live as God wants us to live in his strength. And we struggle. We've all got weak areas. We all struggle in one area, at least, or another, to live as we should. Because the point is, Jesus could come back any time. And it says in the scripture, he'll come at a time when people don't expect him. So it's being, knowing that we're ready for Jesus. And if there's something in our life that makes us think, I don't think I'm ready for him, we can actually pray into that situation with this prayer. And he can refresh us with his Holy Spirit. And it's to do with being holy, isn't it? And you know, none of us think we're holy, but actually, if you're walking with Jesus, you are holy. So let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, may you strengthen our hearts. May you help us to overcome our sins, our besetting sins, by your Holy Spirit's power, so that we are ready for Jesus. Amen. Now, if you're not a Christian, in other words, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, I've got another prayer which you might say with me, and come and tell me if you've said this prayer afterwards and I can help you progress. So this is really coming to Jesus and letting him forgive our sins. You can say this in your heart as I say it. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus, for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I put my trust in you. Having said that, Jesus has forgiven you. And the last bit is, please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Amen. And if you said that prayer, especially for the first time, it means that God has cleansed you from all your sins and Jesus, by his Spirit, has come into your life. You are born again. And you are ready for him when he comes from heaven to gather all his saints, and which is all those who know him and love him. Amen. So, your depth of love is related to you calling on Jesus on a regular basis. And that will give you his depth of love for different situations in your life. And I think that was the key, as I understand it, to Paul's ministry. He could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Okay. I should, let's see. Yeah, I've probably spoken long enough, but if there's any questions, please feel free to ask me. But it wasn't a very intellectual sermon, so I don't expect there would be, really. It's pretty, it's just hard, but it is all understandable, I think.